Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, what do the words Christ consciousness mean to you? And to a lot of people, it means different things, because it's, it might be religious, but it might not be. It might be purely spiritual. And to help us understand the nature of these two words, I've asked back our recent guest and good friend, and he's here again, and he knows so much about all this. I just love talking with him. It's Phil Gruber. Phil, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Hi, Peter. It's great to be back. Great to be back in the stew.
Well, we're always in the stew. Life is a stew. And let's apply some good energy to it.
Well, I think, it's a really interesting subject, Christ consciousness. And I think it encompasses so very much, not just our individual healing, but really the healing of our race. The whole collective healing of our race, which includes us, is going to take time. But I think it's going to ultimately...
You mean the whole human race?
The whole human race. Because we're members of this collective that we call the human race. Now, we were created for very specific reasons. We have very specific contracts. Our original creation came about because there were issues on a extraterrestrial, metaterrestrial, ultra-terrestrial, on those levels. And the human race was created as a response to issues that were taking place, not just in our three-dimensional system, but in many, many harmonics of creation. And I think the collective healing of our race and through our race, many, many other races, is going to come through an understanding of our true heritage. And with a knowledge and understanding of our true heritage, our true beginnings, our true purpose for being individually and as a race, I think we can now then become conscious participants within these intergalactic communities. And I think the healing, ultimately the healing of the intergalactic collective, is going to come through an understanding of the common core of creation out of which we have all emerged. Understanding the common core.
And maybe that's what's interesting, what I'm thinking about, is when we have ET presence on this planet that everybody is familiar with, that they'll understand that they're different than our human race. And so the human race has to be more together to deal with all of these other races from other parts of the universe.
I absolutely agree. The collective healing, not just of humanity, but all ET races, metaterrestrial, ultra-terrestrial, including the earthly races, is going to come through a state of cognition. And that state of cognition is what I and many before me have called Christ consciousness. It's a state of cognition, a state of recognition of ourselves. And although there may be religious interpretations of Christ consciousness, I believe that over and above these, I won't call them lesser interpretations, but interpretations that have tended to divide us instead of unite us, I think that Christ consciousness is a state of 12-dimensional awareness and electromagnetic polarity balance that comes through full activation of what many of us in the field have called that 12-strand DNA pattern.
Right.
We hear a lot about that in the New Age.
Right, that apparently we're moving into transformation transmutation actually, that we'll be living with 12 strands of DNA. And it's not, a lot of people have different versions of how the 12 strand is going to look, because it's not just adding more strands to the spiral. It brings in, DNA from other places, and it's more sacred geometry than it is this one spiral.
Right. I mean, mainstream science, and I'm sure there are those in the mainstream and out of the mainstream who are understanding more the true nature of our DNA, and that you can't really understand what's going on with the higher strands because they're not normally perceivable, especially using instrumentation, which we have now, at least in the mainstream. This talk about 12-strand DNA, there's not a lot of it's not a lot of evidence base that would satisfy a lot of those in the mainstream, because if those DNA strands do represent higher consciousness, and each DNA strand really is a receiver. I think we've talked about that from time to time, that each DNA strand really is there to, like, a transducer, a translator of dimensional consciousness. And right now, with the way our level of activation now in our DNA, I think you can't perceive the higher dimensional fields. And it's very difficult to talk about this type of information with those that, if they don't see it, if the evidence is not right in front of their eyes, or through a microscope, or through scientific method, you have a very hard time getting through to these people. Because, we don't talk their language, they don't talk our
But there
language.
still needs to be the evidence of how are you doing, you know, and that's the biggest evidence of all, is when we see the results in our own consciousness. Because if we're talking about Christ consciousness, we're talking about consciousness that already exists, but in a new form. And why would we call it Christ consciousness?
Well, because I believe, and many others do, that again, Christ consciousness is a state of 12-dimensional awareness. And we have that 12-dimensional awareness because we have activated all the codes within those 12 strands. Each DNA strand, each double helix, is a transducer or a translator of dimensional consciousness. So as we evolve, as we expand to join our higher families, collectives, gestalts of consciousness, it's going to come about through the progressive activation of our DNA, that which exists now in dimensional fields, which most people right now can't even perceive, don't even have a cognition that that exists. And this is where people get into problems, because it's said by a lot of teachers that literally all conditions of disease manifest in the human body. Any disharmony in our life experience, maybe it can be resolved by understanding who we really are, even including the unnatural condition we call death, really comes as a result of our ignorance, whether it's forced or unforced or put upon us, or naivete, or just plain stupidity, or the fact that we haven't been educated to our true origins, our true reason and purposes for being. And that stress and that confusion is maybe at the root cause, ultimately, of anything which will ultimately manifest on all dimensionalized levels of ourselves, even include up to and including the physical body. It's this stress and this it's not knowing who we are, not and asking ourselves, even at advanced ages, when we've lived our lives and manifested whatever we've manifested. There comes a point in a lot of people's lives, Peter, I think, where we ask ourselves, who are we? Where do we come from? Why were we here? Okay, we've done this and that in life. We've managed to create this, have children, grandchildren, whatever. But there seems to be lingering questions. One of those lingering questions is, or connected to, who we are, what our purpose here is, why we're here in the first place, and what we're here to do. And that, and answer, in answering those questions, I think that that's where spiritual evolution, I think it is the true path of grace, the path of glory, the path of knowledge, in understanding who we are in relation to this great cosmic scheme. And it's a big story.
Yeah, so let's talk about that too, because I really like the idea that we're moving towards, you know, if you can hold the word Christ as cognition, let's call it all cognition, all knowing. So all knowing, it means it's just light, because light is holds all information, and you know, light carries information. And so when you have the ultimate light, you have basically you have God, and
Yeah.
then we're striving to attain that ultimate light. And so that I would like to see that as called Christ consciousness. And then and it's interesting because I don't believe that humans originated the way that we've been taught from, you know, cavemen and even before cavemen, what were they, or what that were there? And there are a lot of gaps in our evolution that don't explain themselves. How did humans actually become formed? You know, it would have taken trillions of years, I think, one step at a time. So somehow we were created. And I think the human form is all over the universe in its own different ways, according to the different needs of life on each planet. And here, you know, we have the seeds of that. So I think we're seeded a lot. And then also I believe we're manipulated, our genes have been manipulated a lot by early ETs that have come here. So what do you know about that?
Yeah, well, I think I know a lot about that.
Good.
Our lineage, it is believed, began about five, the human race, the Adam Kadmon, or the Adumi Kudmon, began with a race called the Turanusian race, about 560 million years ago, created on a planet, which is a fifth dimensional version of Earth that many in the field called Tara, T-A-R-A. And it was seen that in all the dimensions and all the universes, there was a lot of, like what you alluded to just a minute ago, it was seen that there was corruption, that there was corrupt consciousness, not just in our in three-dimensional worlds, but even in higher dimensional worlds and higher dimensional universes, because as you spoke about genetic hybridization, hybridization without a regard for the sanctity and the sovereignty of many races, inbreeding by many races that after a time lost certain codes in their DNA because of this improper inbreeding and genetic hybridization. And it's because of that corruption in their DNA, consciousness got corrupted. Their agendas really are based on ignorance of divine law and natural law. They can't connect with their own Christos. And this is what a lot of their agendas are based. And when you talked about evolution, it was interesting because sure, there are gaps. Cockroaches have been around billions of years. How come they're not going to work? How come they're not commuting to work every day? They've been around for hundreds and hundreds of millions, and they must like where they are.
Right.
It's
well,
just stay there.
Yeah, they don't. They don't mutate. But
yeah, but anyway, just getting yeah. back to that. The story is, the legend has it, and you can find many of the traces of this information in folk tales, fairy tales, because in those times it was the legends, myths of all races, because it was the safest way to carry on this information, that councils in the Pleiades and in Sirius, fifth, sixth dimensional councils, angelics, saw that there was corruption. They decided to take DNA from our seed races, from races that actually seeded their DNA or contributed their DNA to the creation of this human race, which our information is that we were originally created to be guardians, custodians of the planetary gates, the stargates on this planet. Many call them the planetary Templar. Some call them the Grail. It's a set of stargates on the planet, literal black hole, black and white hole vortices, literal portals that connect dimensions and universes, that if you have control over these stargates, whatever your agenda is, if it's good, if it's evil, whatever, for dominion, one world domination, control of the planetary stargates on this planet is key, because you can access many dimensional systems, many harmonics of creation through Earth stargates. So the story is that the original human race, the Adam Kadmon, or the races of the Adam, was created to be guardians of the stargates here, custodians of the stargates, healers of an intergalactic collective In other words, breeding with the original human race with their 12 strand, not all activated at birth. The story is that the original human race is an angelic race that lived in the what's called the second harmonic dimension, pretty much focused in the fifth dimension. And that's the levels of the soul. That's the levels of the angelics. There were falls, there were great triumphs and tragedies, but 560 million years ago seems to be when we were created. And since then, as you talked about, there's been a lot of hybridization. There's a lot of hybrid races. We on this planet represent just a mess of hybridized races. But I think there are techniques that we can go into what's called the substrands of the DNA to identify where we come from. Because there are some major players in these dramas that are always manifested on the earth. But getting back to the Christ consciousness, if you'll allow me, that Christ consciousness, the fact that we were originally given in our creation that 12-strand potential to activate all 12 strands, and by the activation of the 12 strands, become fully Christed. It's the progressive activation of the DNA which allows us to expand, to integrate into our higher parts, to expand to these larger families of consciousness, whether you want to call them angelics, archangelics, avatars, Rishi, ascended masters. We were originally given the promise to do that, to become full avatars, Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, by the progressive activation of this DNA. And I will tell you, truthfully, that I don't think in the best case scenario, there's a lot we have to do except release the blocks to the natural activation of our DNA. We were made to ascend in these planetary time cycles. But the only thing that's the things that seem to block us is our own ignorance of natural law, divine right order, what that is, not just as a spiritual concept, but as a concept in energy. And this is why in our healing practices, you can go into the stories. There are millions and billions of stories, but we deal with these things as energy with energy. There are disharmonic energy patterns, harmonic energy patterns. We just try to reintegrate what's out of harmony back into harmony. So the natural activation of this 12 strands can occur the way we were originally designed to do. It's a complex subject, but I think it's a subject that can be learned with dedication and time and patience.
Oh, that's wonderful. And yeah. Not all of us want to give it that much time.
Yeah, I know. I think that contributes to a lot of the stress on the planet. But if we understand that Christ consciousness, 12-dimensional awareness, and also electromagnetic polarity balance that will come to us and has come to some in the past through the progressive activation of the 12-strand DNA. So it's not only a concept, spiritual or otherwise, it's a bioenergetic phenomenon which will take place through the progressive embodiment of our higher dimensional aspects of our personal identity. And that original human form, the Adam Kadmon, with its 12-strand DNA pattern, holds the potentials of consciousness returning to its original form through, as you mentioned earlier, transmutation into the, I believe that the Christos, the Christ, the avatars, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, their biologies are liquid light. We're here in carbon, dense carbon bodies now, but as we evolve, we'll evolve from carbon to carbon silica. Silica is the next element on the periodic table. Then semi-etheric silica to pure etheric silica biology. Then to liquid crystal, liquid light, pre-matter, hydroplasm. This is the biology, I believe, of the true avatars, the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and that original pre-matter crystalline liquid light form is the form that all beings manifesting lower dimensions have had to pass through in order to get down where we are now. You may ask, why did we come down here? Well, there were falls. where we fell in consciousness here, maybe to experience what life is like in the 3D. But I think the Christos is a collective field of consciousness, liquid light, pre-matter, dimensions 10, 11, and 12, through which, and this is the key, through which all beings manifest in time, all beings manifest in the lower worlds. The Christos represents the point of unity. We, as once existed as liquid light, pre-matter, hydroplasm, all beings in the lower worlds of time, we've passed through those fields to come here. It represents the point of unity of all interstellar races. It is the common pre-matter form held, shared by all manifest beings. And though there are many diverse races of biology and consciousness within the dimensions, all of these races, Peter, emerged from a common seed and gestalt of consciousness that we call Christ consciousness, with 12-dimensional consciousness, the avatars, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas. And what happens is they subdivide within themselves to create oversouls. The archangels subdivide within themselves to create souls. So angelics subdivide within themselves to create us. It's the evolutionary path of human consciousness, that if it teaches us anything, that we're really all connected. We are part of the one self-aware, self-realized oneness that we're just all fragments of. But I guess the game is to bring our hearts back together so we remember who we are in our wholeness, only to fragment ourselves again.
Well, I've been taking this in what you've been saying. It's interesting, because what I've been doing is, while you're saying it, I'm embodying it and feel like I'm breathing it, because I want it to happen so powerfully like this, like you're saying. And I just want to include it in who I am. And I think we all, listening to you talk, can all actually picture ourselves in greater cognition and keep striving for that, and allowing the light to filter in and information to filter into our systems to alter it and to bring us into this higher DNA formulation.
I think a lot of your listeners, they understand if the Christos represents the reality fields of dimensions 10, 11, and 12, we understand that there are galactic coordinates to these dimensions. And we believe that these galactic coordinates are found in the Lyran, or the Lyran star systems, within the morphogenetic structure in the field of our time matrix. So the legend is that population of our local time matrix began a long time ago within the Lyran star systems through a singular race of pre-matter, liquid light beings, collectively called the Lyran founders races. And these Lyran founder races are what we consider the elder races who, because of the corruption within our time matrix, contributed their DNA or aspects of their DNA to the creation of this being, which would act as a healer, way showers, revealing vehicles of the light of God, to be custodians of Earth and its stargates, especially during these time cycles where it's believed by many that our gates are opening, our gates within ourselves are opening, planetary stargates are opening that provide access.
All of that.
Dimensional stargates. So we need to be in control of ourselves. I don't think we can be really effective as healers, grid workers, just loving beings. You know, the promise was, Peter, that the full revelation of the Christos would be available to us in our lifetimes if our attention could be directed more inside to what really matters, learning the true meaning of freedom, the true meaning of love, how we relate to each other. But the founders' races, these codes of Lyra, from the 12th dimension, they're carried in our DNA. And once activated, allow the body to undergo what's called full molecular transmutation. The big part of the ascension process, Peter, is the fusing of the double helix. One is electrical, one is magnetic. when matter and antimatter, particle and antiparticle come together, it is annihilation of one type of body, but the truth is it's the recreation of a higher body. We're in bodies of light now. We're just in bodies of very dense light.
That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah.
And when the helixes fuse together, and for the helixes to fuse together, I may have mentioned this once before, the ladder rungs of the DNA, you know, the nucleotide base pairs, the stairways, the ladder, those are hydrogen bonds. And hydrogen presents in the red, R-E-D, the red spectrum. So if you want to free yourself from the bondage of Egypt or Pharaoh or your own inner unresolved personality fragments, you have to do what? You had to cross the Red Sea or part the Red Sea. Well, the hydrogen bonds in DNA have to part so the helixes can fuse together. Then DNA strands fuse together, and that's where you get the creation of this beautiful photonic light. I think we've talked about this privately. There's a blue photonic light that some alchemists call blue starfire. That's an ascension element that contributes to the progressive de-densification, the molecular transmutation of our bodies from carbon all the way up to liquid light, and then even beyond liquid silica.
I once saw a blue light feed into me, and I was so happy that I said, I'm sure it's doing something. It was a gift from the universe. So we're really at the end of the show. This is wonderful. You have so much information all the time.
Well, I'll just end really quick by that a lot of us have begun this incarnational journey in the cradle of Lyra. And you know that nursery, you as a father and a grandfather, rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle of Lyra rocks. When the bough or the seal breaks, the cradle falls, and down comes baby, cradle and all. Well, we may have fallen to the bottom of the tree, but all of us carry the imprint of the cradle of Lyra within us, and just meditating on the fact that we come from a divine blueprint, higher embodiment.
And that raises us right there. Yeah, that's great. Phil Gruber, thanks so much for being back on Energy Stew. People can reach you at email at
Phil Gruber, P-H-I-L Gruber, G-R-U-B-E-R, 153, which is the Greek gematria for Mary Magdalene, Phil Gruber, 153, at hotmail.com.
That's great. Thanks, Peter,
thank you once again for this opportunity. I hope I wasn't blah, blah, blahing too
much. No, I love hearing you, and I hope the audience appreciates you as much as I do. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.